We are in a section, as you know, that begins with Paul's defense of his apostleship. And the reason that he needs to defend it is because in just verse 2, as I discovered this time through, a little phrase that I had not really put much emphasis or dealt with before, at least in a message, was in the end of chapter 10, verse 2, it says this, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you with that confidence wherewith to think that I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." That was the problem at the church at Corinth. Among many other problems, that was one of the problems. There were people that were accusing Paul of walking after the flesh. And so he starts out by defending that part of it. We don't walk after the flesh. And he talks about his weapons that were not carnal. They're not fleshly weapons. They are spiritual weapons. He talks about, we do not look on the outward appearance. Do you look on the outward appearance? That's in verse 7. If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we also are Christ. That's the background for what we're going to be talking about today. The importance then is of the, as we've talked about before, and we're not going to really make that the main point of the message except to refer to it. Don't forget that it is very important that God looks on the heart. Probably some of the people that thought he was living after the flesh were looking after things that were happening. They were looking at the outward appearance. I don't know how they would have been able to do that with the Apostle Paul. Of all the things that I don't understand that somebody would say about him, I don't understand how people could say, that man walks after the flesh. Because he was a very spiritually minded person. It was wonderful, his testimony that he had, but his testimony of himself was always to put himself down. It was not like him to defend himself. It was not like him to put himself in a position where he had to defend his apostleship. It should have been understood, and he shouldn't have had to defend it. But it just certainly wasn't his nature. And while he doesn't do that in this particular chapter, when he does defend it, he uses the phrase sometimes, I speak as a man. I'm going to speak humanly here for a little bit, he says, and I'm going to defend my apostleship and some other things about me. In verse 12, then, after he talks about, again, the fact that they say you terrify us with your letters, but in your presence, you're not very bold, His speech, they say, is not weighty, it's not powerful. His bodily appearance is weak. We're in verse 10. His speech is contemptible. But verse 11, he says, let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, in other words, the way that we are when we write is what we will be indeed when we are present. That's how we are going to act. But our message today, then, as I've just been reviewing and leading up to that at this point, is verse 12. And notice the phrase that he says here, and let me just read a couple of verses here. This is the text for our message this morning. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our role abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Did you get all of that? How does the word measure fit in to that particular section? And I frankly had to read that in another translation to be able to get what I thought it was saying, and it turns out that I guess I had it pretty well. But on the other hand, I did find that I needed a different translation for that to be able to make it flow the way that I wanted to. And if we have time, otherwise I might do it at the beginning next time. I might share some of that with you on that. I didn't know how quickly I could get it. I had it lined up here, but it wasn't. Maybe I will read the other translation for you right now. I'll begin reading in verse 13. But this is from the Good News Translation, and it will bring out some of those points, I think, that we need to see from that. He says, "As for us, however, our boasting will not go beyond certain limits." Is that a good thought? I'm going to boast, but it's not going to go beyond certain limits. That has a kind of a strange ring to it as well, doesn't it? I'm going to boast, but it's going to be limited. But when you look at what the limit of his boasting is going to be, I understand why he says it. It will stay within the limits of the work which God has set for us. My boasting is going to stay within the limits of what God has done for us. So really, his boasting is going to be in the Lord. He's going to be talking about himself. He's going to be able to say, I have been called to do certain things. I have been able to do certain things. But the credit and the glory goes to God, not to myself. And that's the idea of that boasting that he is going to do in this particular. It will stay within the limits of the work which God has set for us. And this includes our work among you. And since you are within those limits, we are not going beyond them when we came to you bringing the good news about Christ. So we do not boast about the work that others have done beyond the limits that God set for us. Instead, we hope that your faith may grow and that we may be able to do a much greater work among you, always within the limits that God has set. It's going to be limited by what God had given to him. He was going to boast about that. He was not going to boast about something that he had done on his own. He's not going to boast about something that he accomplished on his own. He's going to boast about what Christ had done through him. And that's why he can say, as a summary to this, which we won't get to today, we're going to use that in a later sermon, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For it is not he that who commends himself that is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." That was verses 17 and 18 there. But I want to spend a good share of time this morning on verse 12. We don't dare make ourselves of the number that compares themselves with another, or that compares themselves among themselves, or that commend themselves, or measure themselves by what other people do. That's what he says, I'm not going to do. I'm not going to compare myself with somebody else. I'm not in competition with anybody else. I praise the Lord for what they're doing. And so this is where I want to spend the time this morning. The dangers of comparing ourselves. There's a couple of sections to this because he even talks about comparing ourselves with some that commend themselves. We can compare ourselves with ourselves. I'm kind of adding a little bit of a thought to this there. We can also compare ourselves with others. And both of those things we can do in two ways at least, but I'm going to emphasize two of them. You can compare yourself with somebody else to make you look better. That's wrong. Or you compare yourself with somebody else so that you'll be discouraged, and that's wrong. Both of those ways of comparing yourself with somebody else are wrong. They are not profitable. They will not help your ministry. They will cause you to be defeated. If you compare yourself with somebody that you think is better than you, you think, what's the point of me even trying to do something because I can't do it? I can't speak like that person. I can't teach like they can. I don't know what gift I have. And you're in the problem because I know that you have a gift. Every person has a gift that God has given to him. But if you compare yourself with other people, you are going to be less likely to see it because you're only going to see that they're better than you, and you're going to find yourself to be discouraged. Or You can do the other extreme where you compare yourself with somebody that you think is way below you, and you come out looking pretty good. And you can be content with what you think you are, because after all, look at that person there. You have examples of these in Scripture. And one was the Pharisee who stood in the temple next to the publican who was next to him. Remember what he said? He said, "I thank you that I am not like other men." So he wasn't one of those that was thinking now he was inferior. He wasn't thanking the Lord that he was inferior. He was thanking the Lord that he was superior. He says, "I'm not like other men, especially like this publican." And so the comparison was there, exactly what is being talked about here. You are not wise in comparing yourself with somebody else whom you think is lower than you. You're a fool if you do it, is really what Paul is saying here as well. Remember what the publican did. He beat on his breast and he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God says, "I tell you that that one," Jesus said, "went away justified because he recognized his sin." The Pharisee thought he was good enough, which meant in real life he was not nearly good enough. He was not going to make it to heaven unless he repented. We don't know what happened. Might have been just a parable, or it might have been two people that he really saw do that, which I suspect. So, the dangers of comparing ourselves with others. Number one on that, the danger of comparing ourselves with ourselves, what we were. That can be a danger as well. If I look at my life in the past, and I look at my job as a father and as a husband, there are some things over the years, and I think Ruth would admit this, there are some things over the years that I've improved on. It's not good enough yet. I want to say that. It's not good enough yet. Because I don't want to look back at those and say, well, at least I'm better than I was 20 years ago. So what? Are you still improving? Are you still growing? As Christians, we can do that when we think that we have grown significantly over somebody who has maybe not grown as much, has not learned as much in the past few years. But even if we compare with ourselves, well, at least I'm better, I know way more than I did 20 years ago. And again, I'll repeat that. So what? What are you doing right now? How are you growing now? And one of the things that I have said, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, the kind of people that I like to disciple and that I like to work with are people that are simply growing. Where they are in that spectrum is not nearly as important to me, not nearly as important to me as where they're going. Are they growing? And if I can see growth in people, I can live with a lot of things that I know need to be changed over the years. I'm talking about other people, but there needs to be growth. And that growth will mean that you're never satisfied to say, well, I'm better at least than I was a year ago. Because that can become an excuse that say, why would I need to grow anymore? At least I'm better than I was a year ago. So the dangers of comparing ourselves with what we were can be a hindrance to the growth that we need to have. I threw that in, but the real text that we want to use is the dangers of comparing ourselves with others. I have a lot of problems in my life, a lot of things that I wish I could change. Ruth would probably be able to tell you what they are. And sometimes I'm very frank about it, and I say the one thing that if I could change initially in my life, the one thing that I could change, if it could be changed like that, and I would never do it again, I would ask that I would be never again impatient when I ought not to be impatient. That goes through my whole life, it seems like, standing in line, as you know, and people cutting in front of me in traffic, and just time after time after time, or things that I think people should have known or something. I'm an impatient person. I wish that was gone. And so I will never be content until that's been eradicated, and so far, I'll be 70 in here coming shortly, and it's not been eradicated yet. It won't be eradicated until I get to heaven. And then I think I'll be quite patient with what the Lord has done for me and what he's accomplished for me. But it's not going to happen, it appears, in this life. My goal then is, has got to be better than that. I got to do better than I have. It has to be through the Holy Spirit, because I've proved over and over again I can't do it on my own. One thing that I have done better with doesn't mean now that I can be content on it. Remember, I said that already. One thing I have done better with is about, I don't find the temptation very strong to compare myself with others. Because I know, and I'm talking particularly about some of my peers, other pastors, because I know that I'll probably lose every time anyway, but it isn't about who wins or loses with it. It's about, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you in the place where God wants you? And Paul says that the idea of comparing ourselves with others who commend themselves is wrong, but he also says comparing yourselves with others, in comparing yourself with others, you are not wise. Two things happen with that then when you begin to compare yourself with somebody else. If you compare yourself with how many people are in another church, our church is going to be one of the smaller ones in the world, right? Of those that, you have some churches that are 4,000 and 5,000. And I don't compare myself with that. And number one reason is I don't want to be a pastor of that large of a church. I want us to grow. Please don't misunderstand that. But I want to be in a church. I want to be a pastor of a church where I can make birthday cards for everybody. I want the people to know that I do that, not for any merit or anything, but just simply because I care about you folks. I want you to know that. And if I had a church of 5,000, that would pretty well do away with the birthday cards. And I would not be able to let individuals know that I care about them. And it's important to me for you folks to know that I care about you. Do I want us to get bigger? Yes. I want us to grow. I'd like us to grow by seeing people saved. But I'll just have to make more birthday cards. I can at least probably keep doing it weekly on the basis of how many chairs we have. If they were all full, I think I can still keep it up yet. I don't want to compare myself with somebody else that has a larger ministry. I don't want to compare myself to somebody else that has a smaller ministry. I don't want to compare myself with anybody for anything like that, because I know that it will be destructive. It's interesting to me, this was illustrated by a couple of ladies in our church years ago, and Carol is downstairs, so I can use this, and she knows that I use this as an example anyway. Early on, she was one of the first people that was saved in our ministry here. She was saved back in about 1982 or 3, probably the first summer that we were here. And there's another lady that started coming at the same time. And her name was Dorothy Cooper. So we had Carol and Dorothy. And both of them were an asset to our church. Dorothy has passed away many years ago, so she doesn't care what I say about her now. Dorothy was a very faithful attender when we began. And Ruth used to write down the names of every person that would come to our church. Many of you that have been around for a while know this story, but those of you that are newer probably haven't heard it. I haven't used it in a number of years. And as Ruth used to write those out on the backs of the bulletin, we never published them or anything, but she just wrote on the backs of the bulletin the families that were there that day. And in the early days when we started the church, it was from scratch. And Dorothy Cooper didn't care how many people were here. We had one Sunday that we were very low, like probably about 7. And Dorothy Cooper was here, and as Ruth wrote the names on the bulletin, she wrote Dorothy Cooper, and then in parentheses next to it, she wrote, "Bless her." I'll never forget that when I saw that on there, because that's how I felt about her. She was a lady that was very helpful to us and very much an important part of our church. But her biggest fault was, and she's in heaven, so that's been corrected, biggest fault was she didn't think she was good for anything, and she didn't think that she had any gifts, and she didn't think that she had anything to offer to the church. It took a lot of work with her. She was in her 70s when she was saved, and she was baptized in her 70s. It took a lot of work with her to try to convince her, and I don't think she ever really got convinced in this life. She accepted it more, but I don't think she was ever convinced. What a valuable lady. But I remember very much that Carol came to me, and she was talking to me one time, and she said, if only I could be more like Dorothy Cooper. She felt the same way about Dorothy, you know. What a wonderful, valuable lady. Dorothy Cooper came to me probably the same week, because I just remember this being very close together. And she said, I can't do anything. She said, you've got Carol Harris there that can teach, and she can play music, and she can sing, and I can't do anything. She says, I wish I was more like Carol. So I had two ladies come to me within a very short span, probably a week, but just say a month, and say the same words almost about the other, that only the names have changed in this testimony. See, Carol, I wish I could be more like Dorothy. Dorothy, I wish I could be more like Carol. And the fact of it is, neither of them were supposed to be the other. They were supposed to be what God had made them to be and what they could do in their ministry in the church. In their ministry, I'm meaning ministering to Ruth and me and to be a help to us, that I don't know what we would have done without them. I don't know if we would have been able to remain without them. I don't know. We were committed, so probably, but the idea is that they had so much to offer us in those days, each one of them, but neither of them saw it in themselves. That's good in one way. We know that neither of these ladies were thinking more of themselves than they ought to think. But the problem that they were both doing is they were both comparing themselves to somebody else. And when they did that, they each felt like they were losing. I compare myself to her, I lose. Reverse. I compare myself to her, I lose. And so that's one of the reasons that it's not wise to compare yourself with somebody else. And that's why Paul says in this chapter that he's talking about, he says, when I'm going to boast, I'm going to put certain limits on it. The limits of my boasting are going to be within the limits of what God has allowed me to do and be, what God has done in me. And God had done a wonderful work in both of these ladies. I think they both accepted that eventually without ever really fully understanding or being maybe confident or really strongly realizing it, but Ruth and I could see it both ways. That was an advantage there. So I don't compare myself to other churches. I don't compare myself to other pastors. One of the things that I decided early on that I was not going to live and run my church based on how other even pastors thought it should be run. I was very sure that I wanted to listen to them. Don't get me wrong on that. And I've been given good advice along the way, and I want good, and I need good advice. But if it came to the point where I felt that our church, we needed to do something, and somebody else says your church shouldn't do that, or your church should do this, I was not going to be intimidated by them because I wasn't going to compare myself with what they were doing. I wanted to use them. There's value. These are my friends that I'm talking about, you know. And so please don't misunderstand about that one, but I was not going to be intimidated by others because I was not going to compare myself. I've already referred to I'm not going to compare myself to other gifted people. We have some gifted people come and speak in this church. In this case now, I'm not talking about myself today. We have some gifted people come here. And I am confident enough in the Lord to be able to say, well, hopefully you're still going to let me preach the week after they come, because they do better. And I don't think with some of them, there's no question or doubt about it. They do better than I do. And so if I compared myself with them, I'd have to resign, and you'd have to see about getting a better pastor or something like that. And so I guess I'm confident enough to be able to smile with you and be able to say, you know, you can always fire me. And you've got, as I said, I've said this 100 times at least a year. You have to let everybody know. It has to be in the bulletin 3 weeks before you have a meeting where you can vote me out. So you can't do it in the next 3 weeks now because it's not in today's bulletin. And if you tell me to put it in next week's bulletin, I'll have to do it. I might forget, but I'm supposed to do it anyway. Somebody else might have to. But anyway, the idea is this. I decided a long time ago, I'm not afraid of having special speakers. Here's what I wrote in my notes. I hope they do better than I do. I want that. I want that to be something that's special. I want to have their gifts and their things being shared with you that you have. I want that for our church. I sang in a quartet years ago, and I've sung in a couple, actually, but one of them particularly, it was just a local church choir, and one of the men in there was very not confident about singing ability. He loved the Lord, though, and he sang from his heart, and the Lord used it. We got to travel around to some of the other churches and do special music, and we were not a great quartet, but when we would have somebody come into our church to sing that was another quartet, his comment to me would always be, well, they're not much better than we are, you know, and he was always, but it's a lack of confidence there, the matter of comparing himself. And even back in those days, I corrected on it. And I said, no, those guys were good. Just enjoy them. They were good. Because we don't have to be them and they don't have to be us. That's what Paul is talking about in here. I'll give you one more illustration today, and it's time that we would close today with the extra that we needed here. But in Hawaii, there's one hotel that we have stayed in many times. It's become our default go-to one if we get a chance to get it. And it's down Waikiki Beach there, but it's just next to the zoo, like right across the street. Some of the animals are about from here to this park over here away from us. And the windows don't seal very tight. You know, they don't need to. They don't want it to. You know, you have the windows open. And one thing that I love there, although it'll keep Ruth awake sometimes, but I love hearing the animals of the zoo. And they get pretty loud at night sometimes and in the morning. And we always get a room that's on the side where the wild animal park there is, where the zoo is in Honolulu. We love it. And I love it. But one of the things that I love about it is a sign that I took a picture of it. And it's a sign about the birds. I've shared this with you, but it's a good illustration for this as well. It says, buy the bird cages. And you can hear them. It says, the forest would be silent indeed if only those birds sang which sang best. Think about that. The forest would be silent indeed if only those birds sang which sang best. There would not be many pastors if only those preached that preached best. There would not be many people ministering in the church if only those that ministered were the ones that did it, quote, best. I'm so glad that God has a place for all of those birds. And we sang that in Sunday school this morning. And I would encourage all of you, I'm sharing a little bit of my heart today as well, but I would encourage all of you to say that if you compare yourself with somebody else, or even with what you used to be, there are dangers to that. And especially in comparing yourself with somebody else, it's not wise.